Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 103 on March 1st, 2020. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Inseego Corporation, Teva Pharmaceuticals, and the iShares MSCI Brazil ETF. And we discussed three new trades on Golar LNG, the S&P 500 ETF, and the iShares Trust China Large Cap ETF. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or just find us on YouTube for The Weekly Option. Now, the U.S. equity markets obviously took a huge hit this past week with multiple 1,000-point drops in the Dow. The Dow Jones Industrial Index dropped 3,583 points, ending the week at 25,409 points. That's a 12.36% drop in 1 week. The S&P 500 index fell 383 points, closing at 2,954 points, and that's an 11.5% drop week over week. So obviously a very huge move in the markets this week. I'm sure you guys all felt it and know it. We'll get more into our trades here in a second, but before we do that, let's go ahead and discuss the topic of the week. So this week we're going to discuss how to sleep at nights when the markets are falling 1,000 points per day. So what do you do when it feels like the sky is falling? Like, what types of trades should you consider? Well, if you've been listening to this show for any amount of time, you know that I prefer trades with a defined risk. So that's the reason why on this trade, the main trades we discuss are credit spreads and debit spreads. They're great because there's only so much that the spread can be worth. So right off the bat, you know what your maximum gain and your maximum loss can be. And it makes sizing your trades for risk management much easier. It also means that when the market is falling 1,000 points a clip, even if your trades all end up at a loss, you know that your account's not going to zero unless you've decided to deploy your entire amount of trading capital. And when there's more concern or more uncertainty in the market than usual, like what's happening with coronavirus and some of the interest rates and whatnot that we're seeing, around that issue, there's just a lot of uncertainty. And so I don't advise using your entire account right now. Now, at some point, things will turn around and there'll be more certainty. And so then if you've managed to hold on to more of your capital, then you'll have the like extra bullets in the gun, if you will, to fire when the market is becoming more certain. And that certainty could look like the market going back up, or it could look like the market continuing to fall but at a slower pace over the next few weeks. So another trade with defined risk is buying options. Buying call spread or calls, buying puts, buying anything, because when you buy an option, the most that you can lose is the amount that you pay for that option. And obviously, if you buy a call option, your upside is unlimited. If you buy a put option, your upside is basically the amount of value that the strike of that option has, because stocks don't go below zero. So again, defined risk. You want defined risk if you want to be able to sleep at night. That way you know, if this goes against me, if my whole portfolio goes against me right now, I'm only going to lose this percentage of my account or this amount of money. And the one kicker with buying options right now, of course, is that volatility, which is a concept I don't speak about a whole lot on this show, it's a mathematical concept, but in practice, we'll just say high volatility means that there's a lot of price movement. The prices are moving further at a faster rate. That's essentially what volatility is. And so the volatility index that the CBOE tracks each day jumped from 22.25 up to 40.11% over the last week, and that's based on the volatility of the S&P 500 index. I mean, options are expensive right now. I don't see 40% volatility lasting, so it actually might be a great time to start looking at selling options. But at the same time, you know, until this market turns, until it starts to slow down, I wouldn't go in there and try and catch a falling knife, because you're going to cut your hand. So just be careful, be cautious, be aware of the risk that you have in the market, be aware of the risk inherent in any trade that you put on, and make sure that you preserve your capital so that when it's time to either buy or sell more, you're going to be prepared and you'll have the account size to do it. So that's my biggest advice on the week. That's how I tend to trade. I've had plenty of what I call trader mares. They're nightmares that, you know, are basically trading. Like you, when I have one of those, I end up living, like, my entire dream is about my trading position. It's like reliving my day, but with all of the worst possibilities happening. And it's really just a matter of, it's all of my market-based anxieties, you know, playing out in dream form all at once. And I wake up tired. It's like my brain didn't rest at all, even though my body did a little bit, because of the emotional stress. So trading can be stressful. The way to have less stress and the way to sleep at night when you have these huge market moves is simply by making sure that you are trading with defined risk and risk that you can afford to take. So that's the topic of the week this week. We're going to dive now into the cover call. Really, the trade review from last week. You guys can only imagine how this worked. But truth of the matter is, two of the three trades that we discuss each week has a defined or a defined risk, both on the up and the downside. So this wasn't a blowout week. Even if I lost money on some of these, it's okay, because most of the risk is limited. So the covered call, we looked at Inseego Corporation, symbol I as in India, N as in November, S as in Sierra, G as in Golf. At the time, the stock was trading for $9.25 per share. I looked at buying that stock and selling the March 10 call at 60 cents, hoping for a roughly 14.5% return in 4 weeks. Well, Inseego's stock fell $2.31 this week per share, closing on Friday at $6.94. The March 10 call can be repurchased for 30 cents, which is actually a gain of 30 cents per option. Still, all in, you have a loss. We have a loss of $2.01 per share because of the move in the stock. Now, we can always roll the strike lower to the new at-the-money strike, which would be $7.50. If we buy back the March 10 call and sell the March 7.5 call at 70 cents, we will lower our loss on the trade to $1.31 per share. Now, I would only be in this trade if you have a true reason to own this stock as the market establishes new levels. This is the main reason why I prefer option spreads, is because you never really can protect yourself against a downward move in the stock. You're only cushioned as much as the premium that you receive when you sell that call option. So in this trade, we received 60 cents. The moment the stock went lower than 60 cents from our starting point, we were open. We were fully naked on the stock. So when you trade a cover call, you'll never really receive enough premium to offset the risk of a large down move in the stock like we saw this week in the overall market. So I'm not certain that I would advise staying in this trade if you were in it. I even believe last week, if you listen to the show, I mentioned that some of these trades were kind of starter trades. I'm not big on cover calls, but I like to talk about them because so many people own stock. And so understanding cover calls can actually be a great way to enhance yield on your stock portfolio and at least give you a little bit of a cushion. I'm just not a big fan of starting out with a stock and call spread, but I will discuss it each week on the show just so that you guys understand how to do it in case you do own some stock, some shares of stock, and you like to make some extra money on. Because consider this. Let's say you owned Inseego stock at $9.25 and the stock fell $2.31. I mean, at least in this scenario, you'd received, if you had sold that call, you at least received some money. You'd received 60 cents for selling the call. So at least you had a little bit of insurance, just not enough. But if you didn't sell that option, you know, the stock fell and you just assume the full risk of the stock move down. So cover calls aren't inherently evil. They just have a specific place in an option trading portfolio. Now, let's dive into the credit spread from last week. We looked at Teva Pharmaceuticals, symbol T as in Tango, E as in Echo, V as in Victor, A as in Alpha. Last week, the stock was trading for $13.19 per share, and I looked at the March selling, the March 13-12 put spread at 32 cents, which can yield a maximum possible loss of 68 cents per spread. So Teva Pharmaceuticals stock fell $1.66 this week, closing at $11.53 per share. Now, the out-of-the-money put spread we sold is now actually in the money, so no surprise there. The spread can be repurchased for 91 cents right now, which would mark a loss of 59 cents on this trade. Now, the spread can only lose another 9 cents, so I'm not in a hurry to buy it back. I would also typically look at selling a call spread or something like that against it, but the low prices on the call options don't even make it worth selling the spread. So this is one of those situations where I would just wait. There are still 3 weeks left in the trade, and the markets will not fall that entire time, or I'd be very surprised if they do. Most traders also won't exercise that in-the-money option yet. So this is the beauty of spread trading, right? Like, even if the markets fall another 1,000 points, your risk is capped on this trade because it's a spread. And because it's already lost so much value, you know, you really can only go up. I mean, well, the downside is that we lose another 9 cents, which is nine real dollars. The upside is that this trade, you know, moves back to a position where you might end up profitable, or at least not losing as much on the spread. So that's that. Let's look at the debit spread from last week. We looked at buying the iShares MSCI Brazil ETF, symbol E as in Echo, W as in Whiskey, Z as in Zulu. At the time, the stock was trading for $42.46 per share. We bought the March 44-43 put spread, paying 65 cents, which can yield a maximum gain of 35 cents or 53.85% return on your capital in 4 weeks. Well, this trade actually worked. The Brazil ETF lost $4.10 this week, closing at $38.36 per share. The in-the-money put spread we bought is even more in the money, which is great. So if you were to sell it today, you would gain 10 cents on the trade, and that's really because you're going to cross the bid-ask spread. If you wait until expiration, as long as prices are below $43 per share, you're going to collect that 35 cents on this trade, which is a nearly 54% return on your capital in just a matter of another 3 weeks. So, that being said, let's look at the trades for this week, the new trades. And I always, just a couple of notes. I've had some interesting conversations with various traders and some financial advisors who are, you know, people who are active in the market daily, and we'll sit and talk about what's going on in the market. Can the markets keep falling? The answer is yes. Should they keep falling? I don't get into questions like should, because that's sort of like one of those like deciding if something is fair or not. And I don't believe in fair. I don't know that fair ever really happens, but just or justice can happen. So if this market is truly falling because of the coronavirus, specifically the new cases that came out last week all around the world, you have to figure at some point the rate of growth is going to diminish, and that will allow markets to sort of regain a footing. The other thing about it too is the question of, you know, the growth that we had in the U.S. equity markets were not followed or were not led by growth in corporate profits. So how much room do we have to take out of this market? I don't know if 12% is going to be the stop. We could see this market move down quite a bit more. I have a good buddy of mine told me he thinks the market could fall another 20%. I don't agree with that, but I do think there's still some room. So I'm not big on timing the market. I am big on waiting for the market to show me when it's time to make another move. So the trades that I look at today and that I look at each week make sense financially. They make sense mathematically based on what I want to accomplish in the market. And then it's just a matter of, did it work or did it not? And how I'm going to adjust the trade from there. I'm not going to get out there and say, hey, you guys should all just go buy puts. Because, you know, puts are actually really expensive right now. I also am not going to say, hey, you should go out there and sell calls. Why? Because a lot of the calls aren't being priced at a level that makes it worth taking the risk. So there's just a lot going on, and I'm a big fan of just waiting for a little more certainty. Every day we get another price, and that means there are fewer days on these options. Like, March has 3 weeks left, so that's roughly 15 more days of price data that can happen. And if we get another day, if you wait for the end of day Monday, that means that there are only now 14 trading days left. So the markets, your outcome got a little more certain. So again, patience is a virtue, and I'm not good at patience, but you know, right now it's the best thing that I could advise for most people. So trades this week, we're going to start off, of course, with the covered call. We're looking this week at Golar LNG, symbol G as in Gulf, L as in Lima, N as in November, G as in Gulf. The stock ended the week at $12.81 per share. I'm looking at buying the stock and selling the March 15 call at 30 cents, hoping for a maximum return of 19.44% in 3 weeks. So you enter this trade by buying Golar stock for $12.81 and selling the March 15 call at 30 cents. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $15 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $12.51 per share. In real terms, the stock purchase would require $1,281, and you would collect $30 for selling the option. Our second trade on the week is a credit spread. We're looking at the S&P 500 ETF, symbol S as in Sierra, P as in Papa, Y as in Yankee. Looking at the stock ended the week at $292.26 per share. I'm looking at selling the March 309-310 call spread, so it's a little further away from the money, and I want to collect 34 cents for the spread. And of course, because it's a $1 wide spread, there's a maximum possible loss of 66 cents per spread. So you enter this trade by selling the March 309 call at $4.84 and buying the March 310 call for $4.50. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain below $309 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $309.34. Now, you would, in real terms, receive $34 per spread that you sell, and that would leave you with a risk of $66 per spread. And our final trade on the week is going to be a debit spread, and I couldn't resist looking at the China Large Cap ETF, symbol E as in Echo, M as in Mike. Stock ended the week at $40.66 per share, and I'm looking at buying the March 41-41.50 put spread, paying 30 cents for this spread, and that can yield us a maximum gain of 20 cents, or roughly 67% return in 3 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the March 41 put for $1.74 and selling the March 40.5 put at $1.44. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices fall below $40.50 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $40.70, and you will pay, in real terms, $30 to enter this spread, and your maximum gain is $20 per spread. So that's it for this week's show. Thank you guys so much for listening. I am super psyched. Even if the markets continue to fall, I'm excited because next week is my 2-year anniversary. Thank you guys. There are some of you who have followed me with this journey the whole time. I can't wait till we're celebrating year 3, year 4, year 5. I enjoy making the show. I really love the emails you guys send. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the questions. And if I haven't gotten back to you, please forgive me, but I will soon. Stay strong. Keep an eye on these markets. Do not get complacent. Trust me, there's going to be a time coming soon where there's going to be a chance to make a lot of money in this market. So maintain some of your capital. Don't put it all at risk. And with that being said, have a wonderful week. Happy trading. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.